This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. This is The Morning Run. It is Friday, the 12th of August, and it's just gone past 7:38. And as usual, in about 30 minutes after the 8 a.m. news bulletin, we have the breakfast grill. Who is in the hot seat today, Keith?
The president of ASEAN and Asia-Pacific distributor markets for Ford Motor Company. Her name is Yukonton Wisatkosin. And, well, for over a century, Ford Motors has been one of America's top car companies, delivering its trucks and SUVs to consumers globally. I mean, who hasn't heard of Ford, right? So, we're also seeing the supply chain issue continuing and worsening, and inflation is rising. So will this car maker be able to remain profitable and grow in a region that's not quite so familiar with the brand name, not like in America? So Philip C is going to be speaking to her to understand the challenges she faces in a post-COVID era for the auto industry here, as well as this is what I'm interested in, Ford's EV strategies for the region.
Okay, very interesting. Do tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. This is not only for the petrol heads out there. But we now then turn our attention to the world's energy trilemma, because this is the interplay between energy security, energy equity, and environmental sustainability. So as the economies of the world attempt to recuperate from the pandemic or recover, Russia's invasion of Ukraine actually has unleashed a perfect storm that has roiled the global energy markets. Governments worldwide are under enormous pressure to cope with reduced gas flows from Russia and soaring gas prices at the same time.
Yeah, and does this crisis impede or catalyze the global energy transition? In Malaysia, the government will be launching the National Energy Policy later this month that will capitalize on our transition to cleaner energy. But how should Malaysia ensure energy security whilst achieving our nation's goal of a carbon zero economy by 2050?
For some answers, we speak to Evan Ng, an energy market analyst in a leading consulting firm in London. Good morning, Evan. Now, during the pandemic, we witnessed a rapid drop in energy demand, and now economies in the world are trying to recover. During this process, are countries that are transitioning to renewables reflecting the rebound in economic activity?
So, countries like the US and UK see investments in renewables as an opportunity for post-pandemic economic recovery. And this is actually true when we look at the wider economic benefits it can realize. First, transitioning away from conventional power generation like natural gas plant would bring long-term cost savings. And in the near to medium term, these investments can also boost local economy and even create a new industry and supply chains domestically. When we are decarbonizing the energy systems, we are not only creating direct jobs for people working in these new power plants, but more importantly, the energy transition can create jobs across the entire value chain, from manufacturing of components like wind turbines and solar panels, to the construction of these new power plants, and then to the asset management work that is needed after that. Significant values and employment opportunities can be realized through the green recovery. And not to mention, developing new renewable plants will also have a trickle-down effect that leads to job creations in areas like network reinforcements. And if we do not take advantage of this, it will be a huge missed opportunity for Malaysia, so that the full extent of economic, social, and environmental benefits of energy transition is something that the government needs to realise and actively consider in their plannings.
But now, Evan, there's this war in Ukraine, right? And it's basically creating a global energy crisis. And it's definitely acutely affecting countries in the European Union. What does this mean for energy investment going forward then?
So in the case of the EU, the Russian invasion of Ukraine actually accelerated the decarbonisation efforts. For a bit of context, currently, a significant proportion of fossil fuel demand across Europe is being met by Russian natural gas supply. And the recent geopolitical event served as a catalyst for government across EU to further realize how unsustainable it is to be over-dependent on fossil fuel, especially when majority of the supply comes from a single country. The recent event makes government and society realize how volatile fossil fuel prices can be, and any elevation in the prices due to unpredictable geopolitical uncertainties can have direct and detrimental impact on society. This helps European countries' governments realize the need to accelerate their transition towards a low-carbon energy system and also reduce their reliance on Russian gas. In fact, many countries in this region have shown greater commitments to achieve net zero recently, with many revising the near to medium-term decarbonization targets upward, which is also being translated into higher budgets and greater policy supports towards renewable investments. And this is no doubt a very strategic move to ensure long-term energy security.
Focusing on the cost, has the price tag for green energy infrastructure reduced substantially?
So the narrative that has always been used in Malaysia right now, which is renewables are simply too expensive, is no longer true. The prices of renewable assets and components like PV panels and other associated costs has been on a steep decreasing trend over the past decades. And we need to realize also the long-term cost savings that we can achieve with renewable generators. Because renewables have a low or almost zero short-run marginal cost, which means that there is no additional cost associated with each unit of additional energy being generated. And this is actually a huge long-term saving compared to fossil fuel power plants, which the marginal generation cost is dependent on the highly volatile fossil fuel prices. The problem we have in Malaysia right now is that the energy market in Malaysia is being distorted, which hinders renewable to compare with fossil fuel power plants on a level playing field. Firstly, we have the ongoing fossil fuel subsidy, which brings the price tag of this conventional energy generation down to an artificially low level. Hence, the true cost of using these conventional thermal generators like gas power plants is not being reflected. Also, the social and environmental externalities like health impact due to air pollution and the consequences of climate change are not being internalized in the current market. And now, of course, fuel subsidy reform, while urgently needed, needs to be carefully studied through and be a gradual process to make sure that vulnerable communities are being taken care of. But the market signal on renewable investments must be clear, and we need to make sure that the wider system benefits like carbon abatement that can be realized through renewable investments needs to be factored in to reflect the true cost comparison of renewables versus carbon-emitting conventional power plants in Malaysia.
Evan, do you think Malaysia could achieve carbon neutrality by 2050? What do you think are the most critical challenges that need to be overcome in order for us to achieve net zero emission by then?
So if we look at the current trajectory in Malaysia, our business as usual outlook is definitely far from achieving net zero by 2050. To achieve net zero, strong, clear, and most importantly, consistent policies and market signals are needed. This is because the public sector alone cannot achieve the highly ambitious target of net zero. Private investments will be very critical in this. And to attract these private investments, messages on the fact that the government is serious about the energy transition is needed. However, the current messages provided by the government are not entirely consistent. Just recently, the government have revised the target on renewables in the energy mix upward, which is no doubt a very encouraging and progressive move. But at the same time, the government is also saying that they will only stop building new coal-fired power plants by the year 2040, which actually contradicts their message on decarbonizing the energy system with renewables. This means that the highly polluting coal plants can still be built just 10 years before 2050. Now, we need to know that thermal plants like coal power plants generally have a pretty long lifespan, and it will be pretty difficult to retire these generators early, far before their expected end of life. Because retiring them early would not justify the investor's business case when they were initially considering the investments. This could potentially lead to what we call a carbon lock-in risk, which is basically when there are too many stranded assets from the legacy old carbon-intensive regime, and it will be very costly to force these assets to retire. And subsequently, this will create strong inertia against progressive changes and then at the end, inhibit the much needed transition to a sustainable energy future.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Evan Ng, an energy market analyst based in London. Up next, we'll be asking why students are dropping out of school. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.